Good morning, everybody, and happy Christmas morning. I want to start our time together this morning with a brief reflection of, yes, this year, 2020. And I think we can all agree that it's been a year like no other that we have ever experienced. Even in the last 48 hours, we as a church have seen plans changed, new plans made, or plans cancelled altogether, and I'm sure that's true for all of you as well. There was a poignant moment yesterday in the midst of an email crisis meeting when the radio next to me started playing "It's a Wonderful Time of the Year," and I felt like picking it up and throwing it through the window. But I didn't. Because, of course, for us as a church family and, of course, individually, much has changed. There has been uncertainty, and I think it's really important that we recognize a sense of loss and grief that is very real and is very present. It has been a tough year. But even during this season of uncertainty, we still have much to celebrate. As a community, both here at Marcham and at Garford, we have pulled together, supported one another, we have dug deep, gone the extra mile, and cared for one another. I join with James, as he said earlier, that I particularly want to acknowledge and thank our church wardens, Neil and Tamsin, for all that they have done for us because they have worked behind the scenes so very hard. I want to thank, too, all who have taken part in any of our services, be that in front of the camera or from behind. All who have worked so hard to make sure that somehow and in some way there was an act of worship for us to take part in. For each of you who have taken the time to ring or to write or to visit and in whatever way was safe and appropriate, to look after and to care for one another. For Jill and for Rob and the teams that work so wonderfully behind them, who have helped for and cared for and delivered a program for our young people, despite all the restrictions, and the very many others who have worked unseen to keep us going. We have planned, adapted, we have risk assessed, we have prayed, we have replanned, re-risk assessed, we have cried and zoomed, we have cared and recorded, cleaned, loved, cried again, prayed some more, and in all of that, laughed. Thank you, church family and community around us. You are simply amazing. But why bother? Why struggle? Why do we feel that we care so much that we need to put all that effort in? Because it's quite simple. Because we, as a people of faith, as a church family, believe that it is truly worth all that effort. We believe that the Jesus story that's been told over and over again in the last few weeks is worth it. It is worth the effort, and indeed, it is worth the struggle. Now, the headlines around us might declare that Christmas has been cancelled. And of course, it's really important that we need to recognize that for many, Christmas celebrations have been changed and recognize the distress that it has caused. But for us, as a people of faith, Christmas can never be cancelled. St. John wrote, and it was read to us earlier by Will, "The Word became fleshed and lived among us." And this is what we truly celebrate at Christmas. Because there are no restrictions. There are no tier levels. There is not even a virus. that can ever stop the heart of the Christmas story. The light shines in the darkness, John wrote, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The message of Jesus Christ continues to captivate us because there is room in it for each one of us, for all our experiences, for all our emotions, for life, death, joy, pain, comfort, grief, forgiveness, and restoration. And we've been reminded in the last few weeks of the themes of the Advent candles. That as James reminded us just a few moments ago, that our hope in Christ goes beyond what we can see or the circumstances that we find around us. That true peace, peace that endures, peace that is eternal and lasts forever, is not the absence of conflict or stress, but a deep sense of wholeness, again, despite where we might find ourselves. And then James Allen reminded us that we are to rejoice in the Lord, even when life is at its hardest, because God is our salvation. And then Debbie reminded us that Christ is God's love shown to each one of us, a gift to be opened and a gift to be cherished. A member of the local clergy wrote recently in the Oxford Mail, "It may be sad not to celebrate in the usual way, but the heart of the Christmas story is as strong as ever. The presentation of the feast may be different, but it is still a feast." And so our true hope, our true peace, our true joy and true love are not found this morning in our gifts that we may have received, the food that we may have ate or want to eat, the talents or even our circumstances. But all of those wonderful things are found in the gift of God's Son, given to us all, whoever we are, wherever we are, and whatever we have done. And that, my friends, is the reason that we can celebrate today. Not because everything is perfect and at peace, and that our plans are thought through and secure, and that the roast dinner is nearly ready. No, we celebrate because Christ has come. And that, my friends, is the only reason we need to celebrate. So, this Christmas morning, may we be like the shepherds, who, though they were afraid at first, searched for Christ and his story. And then, when they have found him, they went away rejoicing at what they had found. Let us pray. And as we hold a moment of silence, we invite God to be with us, Emmanuel. We open our hearts, our minds, even our hands to receive him this morning again. And may we, as we go into this new year, look upon Christ with fresh and open eyes, to live as he lived, to be open to his guiding, to his thoughts, and to be about his work in this new year to come. We ask it because Christ is the reason we celebrate this morning. Amen.